to Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple this evening. If you all would please stand, we're going to read Proverbs 21:21. It says, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor." Zach, would you pray for us, please?
If you need it, you can grab your songbooks and turn to page 198. We'll be singing Joy Unspeakable. Page 260, He is able to deliver thee.
Thank you. Wonder if it was right for me to sing that last part. Sounded kind of like bragging, but it's bragging on the Lord. And it's in Job, and the Lord didn't scold him for saying it, so I guess it's okay.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Chin. We spent the last number of weeks considering the idea of Spirit-filled living. And so we come into Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, where we're introduced to this idea. And it says there to be filled with the Spirit. And then Paul gives here in verses 19 through 21 a couple, or rather three, results of being filled with the Spirit. And so we won't take much time because we've already gone over them. But just to review to catch us up where we're at. Verse number 19, a natural result of being filled with the Spirit is praise to the Lord. And as you're filled with the Spirit, it's just a natural result that you would praise and glorify the one of whom you are filled with and of who saved you. And so you would naturally praise Him. Verse number 20, the natural result of being filled with the Spirit is giving of thanks. always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So being thankful for everything that you've been given, everything that you've gone through, and certainly it's not always easy, but a Spirit-filled believer will give thanks always for all things. And then verse number 21, Paul says the third result of being filled with the Spirit is submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And so we understand that in the church, among believers, there is an attitude of mutual submission one to another, that we would not look after the things of our own, but after the things of others, as Philippians chapter 2 puts it. And so we see then that Paul applies it in different ways. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about that the natural result of being filled with the Spirit is that in the home, wives are submissive to their husbands and husbands are loving to their wives. It's just the natural result of being filled with the Spirit. This is not how you become filled with the Spirit, but it's just a natural result of it. And so we see that wives are submissive to their husbands and husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so then he applies it this way in chapter number 6, that the natural result of being filled with the Spirit is that children are obedient to their parents. Those children who are believers, who have accepted Christ and are filled with the Spirit, naturally, they will obey their parents in the Lord. And good news, this is good for them. This is a profitable thing that children would obey their parents and honor their father and mother because this is the first commandment with promise. This is a natural result. But then also a natural result of being filled with the Spirit is that parents, and though Paul specifically says fathers, it's certainly applicable for mothers as well, that fathers and mothers will not provoke children to wrath, but will instead teach them and nurture them and admonish them in the ways of the Lord. And that is the characterization of their home, that the teachings of Christ are of utmost importance in their home, not selfish desires, not desires from family members, not desires from outside, from social media, but or from this culture. But the characterization of the home is the teachings of Christ. That's the most important thing that Paul says here. And that is a natural result of being filled with the Spirit. And so then if you're in Ephesians chapter 6, I'd invite you to stand and we're going to look at the next issue or next topic where Paul applies this idea of being filled with the Spirit. First, it was in between a husband and wife, and then we moved into the home between parents and children. And now we're going to look at the idea of servants and masters. Servants and masters. Ephesians 6 and verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Today we're going to talk about the Spirit-filled workplace. The Spirit-filled workplace. Father, thank you so much for this day, and Lord, thank you so much for all that are here this evening, and I ask that you would help us as we look into the book of Ephesians, that you would continue to work on our hearts as you've done, as I hope that you've done in the members of Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, and Lord, I ask you would speak to our hearts and help us to become more like you, help us to realize this evening what it means to be Spirit-filled in the workplace, and we love you and ask you to receive all the honor and glory in Jesus' name, amen. So we see that Paul then moves not away from the home necessarily, but kind of adds on to it the idea of a workplace. And we see that in this culture here, and you will hear many people use this passage here, Ephesians chapter number 5, and as well as some other passages that Paul wrote to be in support of slavery. It's some people will twist these verses and others as well. And certainly there is an aspect of servanthood that Paul is talking about here. But I do want to take a second and just clear the air that Paul is not condoning or is not in support of slavery in this passage, nor in any other passage where he mentions the word slaves or servants. We see that, and just to be clear, when I refer to the slavery of Bible times, I will say servanthood or servitude. And so we see that there are a number of differences between servitude and our modern or really 19th century and 20th century idea of slavery. There's a number of differences. And so the first would be that servitude was not based on race. That was not the case. It was really open to all. And so it was not just because of the color of one's skin that one might be considered a servant, to be put into servitude. That was not the case. So it was not based on race. Also, it was not a permanent position in life. It was not a permanent position. Many times, people willingly became servants, maybe to pay off a debt, maybe to even sometimes to work his way up, really, which seems counterintuitive. But in this day and age, that was the case, that servants were able to work and were able to learn. And that's really kind of ties in with the third difference, is that it was not based on race and it was not permanent. And also, it was not demeaning. Many servants, many people in servitude in this day were very well educated. Many had the ability to educate themselves further. They could go to school. They could be taught by others. They could. Many of them held very high positions in the homes where they worked, in the families that they worked with. And so many, as I think of Joseph in the Old Testament, where he was in charge of almost the entirety of Pharaoh's household. That was carried on even in this day in the book of Ephesians when it was written in the first century. And so it was not a demeaning like our idea of 19th century slavery. And so we want to be clear that Paul would not have been in support of the 19th century idea of slavery. He would not have been, because all men are image bearers. All men are image bearers of God. And so there's an intrinsic value that we are created with because we are created by God. And so it is very different here. This servanthood that Paul talks about is very different than the modern idea of slavery that we have. And so I just wanted to clear that up for just a second. And so. So then maybe some would ask the question, well, why didn't Paul just say that? Why would he not say slavery and being cruel to people is wrong? I think he did. I think that as he gave us the parameters here of what it means to be a spirit-filled employee and spirit-filled employer, that he really crumbles the foundation of what our modern idea of slavery would be. He crumbles that foundation. And so what does it mean then? Let's look through this. One man said this, Harold Hayner. He said this, that the impact of Christianity is not that we would transform society, which would then transform individuals, but Christianity's impact is on individuals, which then in turn influence society. And so as Paul deals with the servants and as Paul deals with the masters, what he's doing is he's saying, we're going to change this whole entire idea of servitude from the foundation up. We're going to change everybody. Why? Because of who we are in Christ. Right? And that's one of the main ideas of Ephesians, is who we are in Christ, the blessings that we receive from God. And so, what does it mean to be a spirit-filled employee, a spirit-filled servant? Look at verse number 5, if you would. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. We see a number of characteristics here of spirit-filled employees. And the first one would be that spirit-filled servants or spirit-filled employees are obedient. So in your workplace, when your boss says to do something, if you're spirit-filled, it would be natural for you to just do it because it's your boss. And so if he says to do it, then that's what is expected of you. And so if you're spirit-filled, it would just be natural for you to be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Does this mean that always everything that our bosses say is easy? Your boss would say it's easy, right? I'm good with my boss, okay? I'm good. But when your boss says something, does that mean that it's always easy? No, it doesn't. But a spirit-filled employee says, this is my master according to the flesh. And if I'm going to be spirit-filled, I'm going to follow it, even if it's not easy. Am I saying that we disobey the Bible? I'm absolutely not saying that. It's good to obey God rather than man. And so I'm not saying that those things, but I'm saying sometimes there's just things that are hard. Some things that don't make sense sometimes to us. Maybe sometimes there are things that our bosses say that we feel like are menial, right? Things that are, well, this is not my position to do. Maybe somebody that is just hired on. Maybe that's his responsibility. But a spirit-filled employee says that whatever I'm told to do by my boss, as long as it does not contradict God's word, that's what I'm going to do. Because the Spirit of Christ rests in me. Because I'm filled with the Spirit. And so sometimes maybe you think, well, I want to do a great thing. I want to do a great and noble task. And sometimes my boss won't let me do that. Sometimes I'm only doing the small stuff. Helen Keller said this, I long to do a great and noble task, but my main task is to do those small things as if they were great and noble. And so there are some things maybe that we would rather not do at our jobs, but we are to do those as if they were great and noble. Why? Because we are filled with the Spirit. And so the first characteristic of a Spirit-filled employee is obedience. We also see this. The next characteristic is be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, verse number 5, with fear and trembling. There's an aspect of or a characteristic of reverence to your boss. Reverence to your boss. Now, I understand that having an unsaved boss, this may be a little bit difficult. It may be difficult to reverence somebody who is unsaved. But there is still an aspect of reverence that is to be given to the position. To the position of your boss. Why? Because you're not the boss. They are. And so they have a position over you, and there's to be fear and trembling. And in this day, there would have been maybe a difference between somebody who signs your checks today, right? There would have been some masters in this day that were not Christians, right? There were servants in the church whose masters were not believers. And so there would have been difficulty to have fear and trembling toward them. But Paul says, if you're spirit-filled, it's natural for you to have fear and trembling toward your boss, toward your master. And so we find the obedience, and then we find reverence, and then we find a third characteristic, and that is this, in singleness of your heart. In singleness of your hearts. The characteristic of honesty. Of honesty. Right? The amount of time that you do, that you accomplish at work, are you accomplishing work in that time? Are you honest in your dealings at work? Or do you try to move things behind the scenes so that you can get ahead, right? Maybe you plant words in other people's ears so that you might be promoted above someone else. Do you try to promote yourself above your other employee, above your coworkers? But Paul says that a characteristic of being spirit-filled is singleness of heart. I'm here to do my job, and I'm going to do it well, and I'm going to be honest here. If my boss asks me to do something, I'm going to be honest. And if I don't know how to do it, I'm going to say, I don't know how to do this. Though I want to do it, would you help me do it? Maybe you say, maybe your boss asks you, did you accomplish this like I asked you to? Honesty would say, no, I didn't get to it. I wasn't able to complete it. And while it may be embarrassing to do that, and while there may be repercussions, Paul says, in singleness of heart, with honesty, you are to be a good employee. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. So we see obedience, we see reverence, we see honesty. We also see sincerity. Verse number 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Not with eye service as men pleasers. And then as well, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So we see this, that sincerity means I'm going to be here, and I'm not going to try to be divisive. I'm not going to try to cut others down. I'm not going to try to be underhanded. I'm not going to steal from my company. I'm not going to steal from my boss. I'm not going to do those things. Why? Because of eye service. Because I'm not going to serve with eye service as men pleasers, but I'm going to do the will of God from the heart. Not just obeying your boss while he's looking, right? Because your boss is not always going to be looking. And so you have a responsibility that even when he's not there, that you would accomplish the tasks that you are called to do by your boss. And so sincerity, honesty, reverence, obedience. We also see in verse number 6, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. We see that there's also an issue of humility, an issue of humility. If you're an employee, you're not the boss. Pretty deep stuff, I think. If you're the employee, you're not the boss. And maybe there are some who work under you, I understand that. But if you're the employee, you're not the boss. And so understand your rank. Understand where you are. You're not the boss. And so understand that there's an issue of humility. And how often is it so easy to try to puff ourselves up? Right, it's so easy that pride is the base of all sins. And so we understand it's easy to try to be it's easy to be prideful, and it's difficult to be humble. But as Spirit-filled employees, we are called to be humble. We are called to serve with humility. And then also, there's a characteristic of spirituality. Verse number 7 and verse number 5 mentions it as well, as unto Christ. Verse number 7, as to the Lord. And verse number 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So there's a level of spirituality. What does that mean? And that means that when you're obedient to your boss, you're obedient to God. I don't understand these menial tasks. I don't really want to do them. I don't really want to be humble. I don't really want to be sincere because it's kind of getting me down, and other people are going to be promoted ahead of me. And those things. But Paul says our attitude ought to be one that we are serving gods, not necessarily our masters, your employers. That you're ultimately serving Christ as a Christian. That ultimately. And so when you obey your boss, or when you are sincere with your boss, or when you're honest with your boss at your job, you are ultimately being honest and sincere and obedient to Christ. And this is good news for us and good news for you. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Like the promise that was given to children when they are honoring and obedient to their parents, there's a promise that is given to those who are Spirit-filled employees. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And so those who are Spirit-filled employees who serve Christ through their job, serve Christ through their job with sincerity and honesty and obedience and reverence, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. And so, while you get paid from your work, your boss signs your check because you put in the hours necessary, and you've done the jobs that are necessary, and you've completed all the tasks, there is also a reward that is ultimately not on this earth, but it's in heaven, that Christ will give to those who are obedient and sincere and all of those things in their workplace. This is good news for us. And so there's a double payment, double wages for those who are Spirit-filled employees. And then Paul moves on here in verse number 9, and he also addresses the employers. He addresses the bosses. And so verse number 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. With him. And so there's a list of characteristics that Paul also gives that a Spirit-filled employer would also have. He says, do the same things unto them. And so some of many of the characteristics that were given to the employees are also given to the employers. An employer ought to act with sincerity. An employee ought to act with honesty. an employer ought to act with reverence. And also there's an aspect of mutual submission, right? He's talking to the masters that are in the church here. And so he says that do the same things unto them. Employers have a responsibility. Spirit-filled employers have a responsibility to be honest with their employees. My employee worked 40 hours, but I'm only going to pay him for 35 hours. Well, that's not honest. And a spirit-filled employer would say, if he worked 40 hours or if she worked 40 hours, I'm going to pay them for 40 hours. Or if you have a job that's based upon tasks or based on commission, you say, well, he sold or she sold 40 units, but I'm only going to pay for 30 units. Well, that's not honest. And so as a spirit-filled employer, there's a responsibility to have the characteristic of honesty and a characteristic of sincerity, a characteristic of spirituality, a characteristic of reverence. And of mutual submission one to another. And so, but he also goes on, and in verse number 9, adds some characteristics to the spirit-filled employer. He says, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Forbearing, threatening. Though there were some and many masters who would have been in the church here at Ephesus, who would have been spirit-filled, there were many masters in the culture of Ephesus who were not in the church and thus were not spirit-filled. And so Paul says that the culture of being a master was not great, but a spirit-filled master would be very different than a not spirit-filled master. And so in this time, there were many masters who, though the servant had some rights, and though it was not, as we talked about, not permanent and not based on race, and it was not demeaning in that they could hold positions and be educated, there were some masters who were threatening and were mean and were hateful to their servants, to their employees. While legislation was trying to be passed and different Roman laws were attempted to be put into place, there was still a lot of mistreatment of the servants in this day. And so Paul says that a spirit-filled master, a spirit-filled employer, would forbear threatening, would say, okay, I'm going to treat my employees a lot differently now. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be charitable to my employees. Which was really counterintuitive to the culture. Because the culture said, these are my servants, I'm going to treat them how I want. But God has a different standard than we do. And so God says through Paul to these masters, he says, forbear threatening. Treat your employees with charity. Treat them kindly. Love your employees. Have a mutual submission one to another. And then he says this is very interesting, and this is a level of humility in the spirit-filled masters. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And so Paul says, listen, masters in the church at Ephesus, you have a master. There's somebody above you. You're not the top of the food chain, right? There's somebody that is higher than you, and that is God Himself. And God Himself is no respecter of persons. And that means that whether you're a servant or whether you're a master, the good things that you do will be given back to you. Verse number 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And so we would say, rephrase it this way, that he would receive of the Lord, whether he be servant or master, that any good thing would come back to him. And so there's a level of humility. The master comes and he understands, I'm serving somebody greater. I have a master that's above me, and because of that, I'm going to treat my servants, my employees, with a level of respect and with a level of charity that other masters would not have. That masters outside the church would not be characterized by charity and would not be characterized by humility and not be characterized by sincerity and not characterized by spirituality. But because I have a master, I'm going to treat them well. Because whatsoever any good thing that any man doeth, whether he be bond or free, he shall receive of the Lord. And so this evening I want to ask you, are you a spirit-filled employee? Are you a spirit-filled employee? When you go to work, do you work with a level of honesty that is befitting a Christian? Do you work with a level of sincerity that is befitting a child of God? Also, are you spirit-filled? Are you a spirit-filled employee? In that you understand that when you are obedient to your boss, you are obedient to God. You're not just serving your boss for a paycheck, but you're serving God because He saved you. And so, are you a spirit-filled employee? Do you work with a level of humility? You understand that you're not there to just trample over everybody, but you're there to work for Christ. And then maybe there are some here that are employers. Are you a spirit-filled employer? Are there people that work underneath of you that you need to be charitable towards? That you need to be humble with? That you need to have a level of reverence toward? Because understand this, believers of Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, that any good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or whether he be free. Are you a spirit-filled employee, and are you a spirit-filled employer? Father, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, we're so grateful for your many blessings to us. And Lord, I ask you to help us. The workplace is certainly a difficult place where our Christianity can be tested. And Lord, where our testimony can be tried. But I ask that you would help us to be spirit-filled. And that as we are spirit-filled, that we would have the characteristics that you desire for a child of God. Lord, I ask you to speak to the hearts of these that are here this evening. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play, as we all stand to our feet, are you a spirit-filled employee? Are you working ultimately for God? Do you have a level of humility and sincerity and the other characteristics that are befitting one who is spirit-filled? Are you a spirit-filled employer? Do you treat your employees with charity and with honesty, knowing that your reward is ultimately from heaven? Brother Jared's going to sing the first verse of Have Thine Own Way, Lord, song number 306. All right, just a couple of announcements before we're dismissed. We'll have a meeting right after this evening service for those who are going to the couples retreat. We'll have this meeting right over here on the organ side. And so if you could meet just for a few minutes. And then we'll have team cleaning on February the 5th. And so we'll meet together at 10:30, and then we'll go to lunch afterwards and should return around 12:30. We'll have brown bag on February the 6th. And so we'll have regular morning services and then lunch and then our afternoon service at 1:30. The church business meeting will be January the 26th. And so we'll look at the blessings of last year, consider some stuff for the new year, and do some different things there. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. And Brother Richard, glad to have you here. If you would pray for us, please.